As you listen to the following scripture verses, see if you can pick out the common theme. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Watch ye therefore, and pray always." Luke 21:36. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Romans 12:12. "Praying always with all supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Ephesians 6:18. "Pray without ceasing." 1 Thessalonians 5:17. If you have your Bible, you open it up and be finding, if you will, Matthew chapter 6. And be finding in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And Jesus is teaching here, and Jesus says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we just thank you tonight that we can be here once again on Digging Deeper, hearing the word of the Lord Jesus Christ as it is spoken unto us. Father, tonight you are having us focus our hearts and our minds on that language that is above all language, the language of prayer. And so, Lord, as we pray tonight and as we learn what you have in your word for us tonight, may you guide us. May you touch our hearts. May you speak to us in a way in which we've never been spoken to before. And Lord, may you increase our desire to pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All those verses we read at the beginning and the text tonight, it has a common theme, and that common theme is prayer. What's the call for Christians in this great hour, in this dark hour of our land? It is to pray. Not just once in a while, but to pray always. Allow me to ask you tonight, how meaningful is your prayer life? Do you pray like those scripture verses say we must? Are you constantly praying? Does your time in prayer bring you into the presence of God? Do you experience the power of God being released in your life because of time spent in prayer? Time spent in His presence. Now, through the years, I've learned this much. We cannot live a yielded life to the Lord if we do not spend much time in prayer. And then when I think about that, I think if we're honest, the number one area in which every one of us struggles most is the area of prayer when it comes to our Christian walk. John McVain was a reporter for the National Broadcasting Company during World War II. And his broadcast from the battle front kept Americans riveted to their radios. Well, one day in 1942, while he was in North Africa, he was told to prepare the Army Hour broadcast from Algiers for the following Sunday. It was a tremendous undertaking. McVane had to interview leaders, obtain messages from chief commanders, write scripts, and then have them approved by war censors. Then there was the music. McVane found some American GIs who could play jazz, and he started them practicing. And finally, the night of the broadcast came, and a cast of 50 assembled in a makeshift studio, all of them excited about beaming a wartime broadcast to the people of America. Precisely at 8:30 p.m., the orchestra began playing. McVane leaned into the microphone and said in a sober voice, "This is Algiers, the heart of North Africa." During the interviews with McVane, soldiers and pilots for the RAF and the U.S. Air Forces told their dramatic stories. The show ended with a band playing America's national anthem. It was a great program. Afterwards, all the participants were ecstatic. They had just given a riveting account of the war front. All of it had been heard by 40 million people back home, or so they thought. Several days later, McVane received a telegram asking what had happened to the expected broadcast. Nobody had heard it. Apparently, it had gone out on the wrong frequency and was never picked up by the engineers in New York. Nobody at home heard a single word. McVane's program had disappeared into thin air. Now, why am I sharing this? Well, let me ask you. Have you ever felt that's what happens to your prayers? They just disappear into thin air. And if you have, you're not alone. There are many well-meaning Christians today who forget that prayer is the most powerful kind of broadcast the world has ever known. The most powerful kind of broadcast the world has ever known. Prayer wings its way from our lips and hearts through the heavens to the very throne room of God. And the Lord has promised to move heaven and earth to answer our prayers. But sadly, many, like John McVane, are sending out their prayers on the wrong frequency. And it is the reason that many well-meaning Christians feel that God does not hear their prayers. If you are one who wonders whether or not God hears your prayers, comfort yourself with this thought. The disciples felt the same way. They realized that there was a vast amount of difference between their prayers and Jesus' prayers. They were good Jews who had prayed thousands of times. They'd heard many teachings about prayer in the synagogue, and without doubt you've heard many teachings about prayer in the church. They had joined in the public prayers at the temple, and without doubt you have joined in public prayers in the church. And yet they had come to the point, these disciples, of looking at prayer, as many Christians do today, drudgery. Something I must perform if I want to be thought of or think of myself as a faithful Christian. Let's go again to the task of prayer. Can't we just get over it? That's how many approach prayer. Now, those disciples, they're not unlike you or I today in that respect. But when they heard Jesus praying, They saw prayer on a higher frequency. In Luke 11:1, one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They wanted in their prayer life what you want in your prayer life. They wanted what Jesus had. They wanted power with God that they might have power with men. Now, before Jesus taught them to pray, the disciples' prayer life had become meaningless simply because they were sending out their prayers on the wrong frequency. Is it possible to send out a prayer on the wrong frequency? Yes. But if we learn to pray the way Jesus prayed, we can be assured that our prayers are going to go out on the right frequency, and they will wing their way from our lips and our hearts all the way into the throne room of God in heaven. We can learn from Jesus the same as the disciples did when it comes to prayer. You see, the Gospels are chock full of lessons from Jesus' prayer life, and I'd encourage you to read through the Gospels and highlight every single reference there is in them to prayer. But listen, the worst thing we can do is get to the point where we approach prayer in much the same way as taking a dose of castor oil. Prayer is the most meaningful thing we can do. And so let's learn how to speak on the right frequency. Let's discover what Jesus did so we can do what Jesus did, so that we can have what we long for, power with God and power with men. Now, friends, if we are to pray as Jesus did, then we're going to have to pray to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, when you pray, begin in this way, "Our Father which art in heaven." You see, when Jesus prayed, he prayed very personally. He addressed God as his Father, and in the Lord's Prayer, he taught his disciples to do the same. This approach to prayer was very radical to the Jewish people of Jesus' day. In fact, when you read through the Old Testament scriptures, you will virtually never find people addressing God as their Heavenly Father. Rather, they refer to him as Sovereign Lord or God or Jehovah, Yahweh, or Lord of Hosts. On those rare occasions in the Old Testament when God is referred to in fatherhood terms, it's almost always with respect to his authority or discipline. You see, the saints and the sages of the Old Testament just were not comfortable calling God their Father. Doing so seemed too familiar, too presumptuous, too disrespectful. But then Jesus came, calling God his Father without hesitation or restraint. Friends, do you realize in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus referred to God in his role of Father more times than we find in all of the 39 Old Testament books combined? In John's Gospel alone, Jesus referred to God as his Father 110 times. What a difference it makes when we pray like this. If you are a Christian, God is your Father, for the Bible tells us, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, a Christian is an adopted child. We are the sons and daughters of a Heavenly Father. Therefore, like Jesus, we have every right to address him as our Father with the same reverence and with the same respect that Jesus did. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, high and lifted up, hallowed be thy name. Friends, when we call God our Father, we begin to talk with him personally. We're talking to God in a very personal way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. High and lifted up is the name of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our rock. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is our high tower. He is our salvation. He is our God. He is our Father. And so as we think about this, we're to pray, we're to talk with God as if we were talking to some member of our family whose authority and wisdom we revere. We're to ask him for specific things. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Oh, isn't that the cry of this world today? Let the kingdom of God come. Let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread refers both to our spiritual food. First, our physical food. Second, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ought to be willing to forgive those who've sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can I ask you tonight, who among us would want to fall into evil? We need deliverance, and the one who can deliver us is God the Father. He is the one who sits in the heavenly throne. He is the one who is high and lifted up. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, when you begin to talk to God in this way, you begin to talk to God as if he was a family member whose authority and whose wisdom we revere. There's a